Wow, well, good morning. How is everybody doing this morning? Good? All right, great. Hey, I am Sean Ellis. I'm the lead pastor here, and as Jake said earlier, we are so glad that you're here with us, especially if you're here for the first time. Just a great week for you to be here, and I guarantee you, it's not often that they let me speak all, you know, the whole morning on a Sunday, so I guarantee you you'll learn at least one thing today. Promise that, because you will learn why Andy Stanley is our primary preacher here at Beachside. Nothing else. So, but no, really, I am really hoping that you'll come back next week. We're starting a new series with Andy, and it is going to be incredible, and want you back for that. But really looking forward to sharing a little bit with you today, because I think you'll get to learn a little bit about our church and a little bit about why we do what we do, kind of what our heartbeat is for our community and that sort of thing. So glad that you're here. But last week, I shared just for a few minutes about where we are as a church, about our growth, about what God's been doing and how you've been a part of that. And really kind of where that has led us to the need to expand our facility, to continue with our first phase of renovations, the last little bit of that we haven't completed so far. And as I did that, I shared with you kind of where we were growing and how Wambaland was at capacity. And I think I said we'd grown about 20% or so over the course of the last year. And as we got done with that, Jake Miller, our ministry services director, you met just a minute ago, Jake said, Sean, I think you're a little off with your numbers when you shared that. So he did a little research and pulled up some stuff, and I want to show you actually where we are with all of our growth, because I think it's just, I think it's neat to see. So I want you to see this. We'll put this on the screen. This is year over year, first quarter of 2015 versus first quarter 2014. So in Wambaland with our preschoolers, we went from about 59 average attendance on a Sunday to 71, about 20% growth, which is what I had thought. And it's really Wambaland where we're out of space the most and where we're really needing to expand. But Upstreet, we actually went from 63 to 82, which is 30% growth. And with our elementary kids, lots of elementary kids running around on Upstreet this morning. So students from 40 to 60, 50% growth in that area. Incredible that we get to do that and get to see that, because we have so much opportunity with students, knowing that we sit right next to a high school across the street from a middle school. And just really neat to see what God's doing and the opportunity that we have there. With our adults, those of you in this service and the next service, 333 to 436, about 31% growth. And so our total growth with everybody was from 494 to 650, so about 32%. So I underestimated that just a little bit and what I told you. And as we have said over and over again, numbers don't measure success. We know that. But they do show how much opportunity we have, how much opportunity God has given us to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want to make sure that we take advantage of that opportunity. We just think that is such a big deal. It's so important. And that's what we want to leverage, and we want to see God do something significant through that. And so we're grateful for every single person that we have to lead into a relationship with Jesus Christ. But a couple other things that I want to show you, because these are important too. Our volunteers. A year ago, we had about 91 volunteers on a Sunday. Right now, we have about 178. So we have just about doubled the number of people we have who serve here on a Sunday. And I can promise you, every one of those 178 people are needed on any given Sunday. They're always needed. Every one of those fill a really specific task and are doing an amazing job. And we are so grateful for those volunteers. When we moved from portable to permanent and came into this facility, we gained not only more space, but we gained another service. So we went from one service to two services. So we have that many more small groups and just that much more going on. So really important that we have all those people in place. And then Easter Sunday, this was really cool to see. We went from 830 total people a year ago to 1,445 this past Easter. So that just tells me that there are a lot of people in our community who are checking out what we're doing, who are interested in what God might be doing, and a lot of opportunity there to get those people connected and help them understand that there's a God that loves and cares for them. And then our giving, 57,000 to 61,000, so it's up about 7% or so. Hope that continues to trend up as well, because the more people we have, the more money it takes to make it happen. So moving in the right direction. And then I don't think we made a graphic for this, but we actually, just something I just found out was really cool. In our elementary age kids with Upstreet, just in the last, I guess since we've been in the building, there have been 12 of these elementary kids who have professed their faith in Jesus, made a decision to follow Christ, and have either been baptized or are about to be baptized at a family birthday celebration event that's coming up within the next few weeks. So really cool just to see what God's doing and how he is working in that. But we just know that in order to leverage the opportunity that God has given us, there are certain things that we just have to do. And so we had a conversation. I had a conversation recently with somebody that attends Beachside, and he was telling me about a conversation that he had with a pastor that he knows here in our community at another church. And the pastor asked him a question. He just said, "Why is Beachside growing?" And I thought that was a great question. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, what he's really asking is, why is Beachside growing when my church isn't? And I don't mean that negatively at all, because we know that there are 50,000 unchurched people in our community, 50,000. And out of that 50,000 people, for us to connect them to Christ and for us to do what we need to do, it's going to take every church in our community working hard and working together to be able to make a difference in that many people. And so we need every church doing well, and we love working with other churches, and we do that a lot. But as I thought about that question, I thought, I think that's probably what he's really asking, is why is Beachside growing and why are we not? And I think if I was asked that question, my answer would simply be, because I think you're trying to create a church for church people. And church people, just kind of by definition, already have a church that they attend. But we want to create a church that unchurched people love to attend. And we just think there are a lot of those people out there to be reached. And so I think that it's really neat to see what God's been doing through that as we've been working towards that. I have a quote hanging in my office by a pastor named Craig Groeschel. It's been there for years. And it just says, in order to reach people no one else is reaching, we have to do things no one else is doing. And that's what we started doing about 6 years ago, and we started this church, and that was our goal, because we didn't want to just create a church for church people, but we really did want to create a place where we could invite our unchurched friends, our unchurched coworkers, neighbors, whoever it might be, to come and understand how much God loves and cares for them. And so in order to see if we're kind of really on track with that and if that's how we're doing, we did a survey a few weeks ago. You probably participated in that if you were here, but we did that anonymously. Just asked you to fill this out. Don't write your name on it. And give us some information, ask a few short questions about our church so that we could, one, learn who it is that's attending Beachside, and also learn how we can better serve you, our guests, people that are here. And so in doing that, the first thing that I learned was a lot of you asked some very specific questions. You asked me a question and wrote it on there and said, hey, I'd love to know answer to this or something like that. Those were great, great questions. And I promise you, I am not ignoring you. But because your name was not on that survey, I don't know how to get in touch with you to answer your questions. So if you have a question for me, please feel free to email, call, whatever you would like to do. I would love to talk to you about that and answer your question, but I can't answer it if I don't know who you are, because I can't answer all of those questions on a Sunday morning. But there's a couple other things we learned that was really important as well. So when we did that survey, we actually had two surveys. There was one for regular tenders, and there was one for new guests being five times or less. And so I think we'll put this on the screen as well. Those who had attended five times or less, there were 73 people on that Sunday that filled that out. So that just tells us we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. People are coming. People are checking out Beachside. Really cool to see. Of those 73, 29 on that one Sunday said that they were here for the very first time. That's just, to me, that's astonishing that there are that many people that are coming and saying, okay, somebody invited those people. Somehow they found out about what we're doing, and they're coming and checking it out. And then out of those 73 also, 32% said that they had not regularly attended church in the past 3 years. That's who we're trying to reach. That's what we're trying to do. And so it's awesome to see that we're actually able to do that. And then of those, 89% said that they would come back. So you guys are doing an amazing job. Those of you that are fully engaged in what we do, you're volunteering, you're serving, you're giving, you're doing all those different things, I just want to tell you thank you, because what you are doing really is making a difference. It's just working. And we are so grateful that you have a heart for that and you're willing to do what you do. But for those of you that are not fully engaged in what we do, for those of you that are attending and you're just kind of sitting here on Sunday mornings and checking everything out, I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning, and I really want to challenge you a little bit this morning, because we really believe that church, just it's not just a place where you come to attend on Sunday, but the church was a movement that Jesus began in order to accomplish God's purposes in the world. And I don't just mean his purposes out there in the world. I mean his purposes in here as well, because I believe that the church is how Jesus intended to accomplish God's purposes in you. And so I want to share with you just a little bit about this morning. The best way I know how to illustrate that or show you that is through a passage of scripture. Makes sense, right? We're in church, and so that's what we're supposed to do, and look at what God's word says. And I just think this is a great way to look at this, because I think it's something that was clearly communicated to us and what God desires and what he has in store. And so the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to the church in Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, Ephesians. And in that letter, he wrote something, one verse that I think is just really, really important. I want you to see. He said, from him, being Christ, the whole body, being the church, all of us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, that's you, grows and builds itself up in love, not in power or influence or money or any of those things. Those may be a part of it, but it grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, that's really incredible, because I think when we look at that, what we discover is the word grow, the verb grow, actually refers not just to how we grow. It's both a means of growth and it's a cause of growth. It's kind of a dual thing. It's two-sided coin there. It's a cause and effect relationship that's taking place. And we see that as we look at that, because when it says from him, we just know that there is a relationship, an intimate relationship that exists between every person who is a follower of Christ and Christ himself. And it's through that relationship that Christ gives us. God gives us these things that we need that are necessary for life. It's how we grow spiritually. It's how we get spiritual nourishment. It's how our intellectual abilities increase. It's how God works through our emotions. And I think even physically, there are things that God does because of our relationship with Christ. But it doesn't stop there. As it goes on, he says, as it's joined and held together by every supporting ligament, every single person doing its part, there is a relationship that we have with each other because of our relationship with Christ. That when you're joined with Christ, you are connected with other people who are followers of Christ as well. And that's kind of a really neat thing to know and to see, because you know, we look at that sometimes and we think, well, no, I don't need other people. I just want my relationship with Christ to be good, and I don't need anything more than that. But there is more to it than that. There's a lot more to it than that. And sometimes I think we neglect that and we negate that and we forget what that looks like and what that means. It goes on to say, as each part does its work. And I think Paul really illustrated that a little bit earlier in this letter. When we look back at Ephesians 2, we can see earlier in this letter where Paul just wrote, "For we are God's workmanship," or "we are his craftsmanship," "we're his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God commanded for us to do," or created in advance for us to do. And so that is just a cool thing to know, that God has given each one of us a part to play and a role to fill in what God is doing. And so there's a growth that we have as a result of other people's love for us. When other people encourage us, when other people do acts of kindness for us and demonstrate love, then we begin to grow from that. And as we grow from that and we begin to love other people, we encourage other people and we do things to serve other people, they begin to grow from that. And so there is a cause and effect relationship that's taken place as we work together, and through our relationship with Christ, through our relationship with each other, we're able to grow together in our relationship with him and in all those other kinds of things. Now, we know that Christ could supply all of our needs directly. He could do that if he wanted to. I just don't think that's the way he set it up. I don't think that's the way he desires to do it, even though we know that he could. But he chooses to work in us by working through us. Sometimes, and you may have experienced this as well, but I've purchased a raffle ticket. And, you know, I get the raffle ticket, and then all of a sudden I realize that it's got those, you know, famous words on there, "must be present to win." Anybody else ever been there? And you're thinking, man, I don't want to do that. You know, I wouldn't plan on actually going to the event, you know, or I wasn't going to stay the whole time. I wasn't going to stay till the end. But you have to be present to win. Well, the reason they do that is because they are trying to get you to fully engage in whatever their event is and whatever they're doing. That's why they want you to do that. And I think that's what God desires for us. He wants us to fully engage in what he's doing and in the work that he has. And it's not until we fully engage in that we can fully experience what God has in store for us. It's kind of like you can't get a trophy if you're sitting in the stands, right? You have to be on the team. You have to be participating. And some of you may have experienced this as well. I've been sitting in my, you know, couch before on my recliner eating a bowl of ice cream, and I'm flipping through the channels and come across Sean T doing his insanity workout, right? Kind of cool. Love to watch that. I'm like, man, that guy is incredible. This is awesome. But do you know how many bonus points I get for watching him work out on TV? Zero, right? It doesn't help me at all. I don't get in any better shape. I don't lose any weight. Nothing happens when I'm a spectator and I'm watching that on TV. There is some way that I have to participate. I have to engage. I have to be a part in order to fully experience whatever that is and whatever we're going to be a part of. And that's just the way that God has designed the church. See, I think some of you are probably waiting on God to do something in your life. Some of you are probably sitting back and you're just wondering, you know, why, God, why haven't you done this? You know, I've prayed about it. You know, I've been looking to you for it. What is it? You know, why are you not doing that? And I think that God has probably put all the pieces into place. The only thing that might be missing is you. Because the church is here, the church is together. And when you fully engage in that, and when you fully experience that relationship with Christ in its fullness through the body and your relationship with other people and being engaged in his mission, that's when we get to fully experience what God has in store for us. And see, I just don't want you to ever deceive yourself into thinking that you can ever experience all God has in store for you in isolation. It's just not the way that he designed it. And so you might be asking, okay, well, then what do I do? You know, I attend church regularly. I'm here, you know, every Sunday, or at least I'm here every Sunday that it's not raining. Whatever that might be, but, you know, what is it? What can we do? Well, there's four things that we think are really important for you to be fully engaged in the mission of the church. And it's when you're fully engaged that I think God begins to do something great. And I just want to share with you what these four things are. The first one is connect. You have to be connected in a small group. It's just critical. You hear us say that all the time. And we know that, you know, not all small groups are created equal. Some are great experiences and some not so great. But when you connect into a small group, you know, over time, you're going to find that right spot and that right fit. And God just begins to do something through that. When you have a group of people around you that you can pray with, that you can study God's word with, you can build relationships in a way where y'all can support and love each other. There's just something that happens there that is a critical component of your relationship with Christ and your connection to the church. So we want you to connect. It's a really, really big deal. The second one is invite. We want you to invite other people. We talk about invest and invite. That's the phrase that we use because we want you to leverage the relationships that you're invested in for that purpose, to invite people to come and to be a part of what God's doing. A couple of things that happen there. One, that's how other people get introduced to who God is and how much he loves them, and it changes their life forever. But there's something that God does through you when you invite someone else. When their life begins to change and you played a part in it, there's something that you learn about God's personality, about who he is and how much he loves and all those kinds of things that you just can't learn any other way. And so for your own sake, we want you to invest in people and invite them to come to church and to be a part of what God's doing, but certainly for their sake as well. The third thing is to give. We want you to give a percentage of your income to your local church. We think that it's important. We think it's a big deal. We think we're commanded to do that. God says that where our treasure is, there our heart is also. And I think that when we begin to trust God with our finances and we begin to give back to him, that there is something that changes inside of our heart that causes our money and our stuff to let go of that grip that it has on us, and we begin to see things in a different light. It's a freeing feeling when you're able to do that. And I know that I completely believe that God can fund his church. He can do his mission any way he chooses. But for whatever reason, he chose to do that through us. Right? He chose to give us an opportunity to do that. And I think it's because ultimately we're just managers anyway. We're not owners. All that stuff and all that you've worked for, you're just a manager of it. And you know that because when you leave this world and go on, you know, from here, what do? You don't take it with you, right? Somebody else takes possession of all your stuff and they begin to manage it for you. And so if you learn to be a good manager while you're here, if you learn to trust God with your finances here, then God does something incredible through that in your own heart. As well as that's, I think, the way he uses resources to fund the mission of the church and what we're able to do together. And then the fourth thing is serve. And we call it strategic service because it's not just serving somewhere in some way, but it's serving strategically in our environments, that the way that we work together as the church in order to accomplish his mission of leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we want you to serve strategically here. We want you to be involved and to be connected in that way. And there's so many great things that happen when you do that. One of the really interesting statistics that I heard recently was that the average American gives away about 2.48% of his income every year. About 2.48% gives to charity. The unfortunate thing is that Christians who are commanded to give actually give away slightly less than that. And that's a kind of pretty telling thing, but 2.48%. Now, I don't know how that correlates to time. That's how we do our finances. And I don't know if there's a correlation with, you know, that and the way we give away our time at all. But if there is, we know that we can't really measure, we can't put a dollar amount on what a percentage is of income because everybody's is different. But we all have the same amount of time, right? We can't buy any extra. It's just, it is what it is. And so there are about 168 hours in a week, pretty close to that, right? And out of that 168 hours, 2.48%, if there's any correlation at all, would be about 4 hours a week. And that would be average for what people in America would give away. But I don't even think we want to be average because average is just kind of average, right? Average is easy. Average is boring. It just produces average results. And I think God created us for something better than that. I think God created us to do something great. I think we are God's workmanship. We are his masterpiece. And he's given us this incredible opportunity. He's given this amazing mission and purpose to us that we get to fulfill. And when we give away a little bit of what we have, God works through that in extraordinary ways, and I think he does something incredibly great through it. Now, one of the really, really interesting things is we typically look at people, and what do we envy? We envy what people have accumulated. We envy what people consume, right? We look around us. We look to our neighbors. We can always find people that have more than us. We can always find somebody that drives the car we wish we could drive or lives in the house we wish we could live in, our girls on the vacation we wish we could go on, right? We envy that. We envy accumulation, we envy consumption, but at the end of our life, when it all comes down to it, what do we really celebrate and value? Sacrifice, generosity, service, the value that somebody added to somebody else's life is always what we celebrate in the end, right? Think about the last time you went to a funeral. Doesn't matter who it was. What was celebrated? Was it what they had? Or was it what they did? Was it the sacrifice that they made? See, the difference that we make in the lives of other people is always going to be the way that we value what we value. It's always going to be the most important thing, because ultimately the value of your life is determined by how much of it that you've given away. So what I want to ask of you this morning is simply one thing. Would you consider giving away a portion of your time to engage in the mission of the church? I know, you know, all these other things, we talked about four things, and I would love for you to give financially. I would love for you to invest in other people and invite them to come. I want you so desperately to connect into a group. But my ask this morning is, would you simply be willing to give away a portion of your time to engage in the mission of the church? Because that's where we are right now, and that's what I think is really going to help us as a church, and I think it's one thing that is really going to help you. Now, here's what I'm not asking. A few things that I'm not asking from you. I am not asking for you to give me an open-ended yes. Not asking for an open-ended yes, because, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, if I tell you I'm going to serve, then that just means you're going to call me and you're going to ask me to do this and this and this, and, you know, it's just kind of going to get out of hand and blow out of proportion. And that's not what we want from you now. We want to give you one specific thing, ask you to fill one specific role, and then you take that and become really, really great at that. So we're not asking for an open-ended yes. I'm not asking you to do something that you hate, because ultimately, if you don't like it, then you're probably not good at it, and that doesn't help anybody, right? And so we want you to find a place where you can love to serve, where you can have fun, where you can enjoy it, and where you can just be an incredible part of what God's doing through that. We're not asking for you to give away all of your spare time. I would love for you to commit a portion of your time consistently, but not all of it, just a portion of it. And if you can do that consistently, then you can make an incredible difference through that. And I'm not asking you to figure it all out on your own. You're smart people, and what we do is not rocket science. I'm sure you could. But we have amazing leaders who have a plan, and they know what's going on, and they're prepared like crazy, and they can train and equip and give you all the tools and resources you need to be able to do whatever it is that you do here really, really well. And so we would love for you to consider that. And I can tell you all day, I could tell you about how much fun it is to serve and how great it is to be a part of a team and the purpose behind that. I could tell you all those things. But, you know, you're kind of looking at me going, well, Sean, you're the lead pastor here, so you have to say all those things. So I just thought it might be helpful if you could hear from somebody else this morning about what it looks like to serve. And so actually we got several people through a video. It's about 4.5 minutes long. And I want you to check out this video, and I just want you to hear the stories of the people who are serving here at Beachside and see what they have to say.
I serve in Wambaland. I enjoy the small kids. I like seeing, you know, their responses during the large group and their reactions, you know, during the songs and the stories and stuff like that. I also just feel like it's kind of like my way of giving back to the church for what they've done for us. We volunteer as a family, so I serve, my wife serves, my son serves, and I feel like it's kind of brought us closer together as a family. And then just, you know, meeting new people within the church and, you know, having those friends within the church is a good thing for us.
Serving or volunteering is a way for me to show God's love to other people and to really embrace that and to build relationships with them. We've met a wonderful group of friends through our small group, and then also volunteering. We've also been able to form relationships with other adults, which has been great. It has fulfilled a need in my daily walk with God. Just being able to draw closer to Him and then also just share the word and give back to the students.
It's very structured here. You know, I know what my responsibilities are, and I don't feel like too much is asked of me. You know, I have nothing but great support and good training. So it's all been a very easy transition into this, to where I feel that fulfillment of helping out and serving and being able to meet needs, but not being to the point where I'm not able to get anything out of it. You know, I still get to go to the volunteer service. I still get to have a church service where I'm still getting fed spiritually, but also still getting to help and give back.
Joining a small group, that brought me to the next level. Getting my family more involved with church, reading scripture, all of those things brought me to the next level, but there was still something missing. So serving really just, you know, put a fire under that relationship with God.
I love helping others. I love just the feeling of like going in there and just making a difference, whether it's keeping a kid from crying for an hour so that the family can enjoy the service, or just making a kid laugh and just teaching them about Jesus is so special. Everybody else is just so so on fire for the Lord, and everybody we see in Wombland is just happy to be there, and it's not like a chore. It's something that we really enjoy doing, and that's really helped me see just the love of God and how He can do great things through us.
Because of what God has done for me, I want to give back. And so, I mean, that's why I think my wife and I, that's why we tithe or give. And I think serving is just another way of giving back to God, just because I'm thankful for what He's given to me. But I think for me, when we came to Beachside, because it was a new church, we didn't really know anybody, I think serving was the way that that I found to fit in. I mean, it was the way that I began meeting people and began knowing people. And, you know, we were in a small group, but for Sunday morning, just being able to see the same people week after week, that was kind of what made me feel a part of Beachside, really connected to Beachside.
The more people I've met, the more excited I felt about the church and the mission here. And so it's just another way to get connected in the community and also to give back.
I serve at Beachside because I love it so much. It's just a great opportunity for me to do something that I love to do. It's in an atmosphere that is always striving for excellence. We're always looking for things we can improve on, and I love being in that kind of environment. You see actual changes in people's lives. You see, one of the ways that I can tell that things are working in the right direction, that God is really blessing what we're doing here at Beachside, is I see new faces every week. To me, another big part of it that I would miss severely is volunteering. If I just stopped volunteering, it would be a big hole in my life.
Well, that is their story. I love what we get to do, and I just think God has done such an amazing thing, and I'd love being a part of such amazing people, working with a group of people that are just so generous, have such a big heart, so passionate for what God's doing. It is just really a lot of fun. And we would love for you to be a part of that as well. But I want to share with you just for a second. This is what we need right now. We're going to put this up on the screen. We actually need 78 new volunteers. 78 new volunteers. And that's not a random 78. That is every one of those 78 people, there is a specific job, a specific spot, a specific opportunity for each one of those people. And this is what it looks like. In Upstreet with our elementary kids, we actually need 28 people to serve in there as small group leaders for elementary age kids, greeting the parents and the kids as they come in, all those different things that they do. Wombaland, it's 20, same thing, leading these preschoolers, which is such an amazing thing. Some of that's just rocking babies. But with the rest of those preschoolers, it's not just taking care of them and babysitting them while their parents are in the service. It is teaching them these incredible foundational truths that they're going to build the rest of their life on. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? That's just an amazing, amazing thing. Guest services, 16, just to greet people and make sure everybody has a great experience when they come. Inside Out and Transit, middle school and high school. Just having a place to connect with these middle school and high schoolers. What a critical time in life. You know, all of us can think back and, wow, you know, the decisions that we made in middle school and high school are decisions that affected the rest of our lives. And so to be able to influence those kids is such an incredible thing. And in production, if you have technical skills and you can do something to, you know, lights, video, sound, all that kind of stuff, we have some incredible needs for that as well. So these are specific things. Now, about half of those positions are actually what we need to help us continue to reach people as we grow as a church and as new people come in and to have a place where they can connect. But about half of these are really just to fill spots for all the people that are PCSing and leaving our area this summer. As you know, because a lot of you are, we have an incredible population of military people here. And so people come and they go. And we hate that. We love it when they come. We hate it when they go. So, but it creates, you know, opportunity for other people. And so for us just to continue doing what we have been doing, there is an incredible need to get some new people connected. And so we would love for you to consider that. That's what we need. But what my big question is, what do you need? What is God doing right now? Where are you and what are you thinking about? And is there something, maybe just a little bit there, that would tell you maybe what I'm looking for might be discovered if I was really connected and engaged in the mission of the church? Is that a possibility? Could that possibly be it? Because I'm telling you, we really honestly, we want something for you way more than we want something from you. We want you to be a part of helping our church further this mission that God's given us in this community. But that mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's you. And so we want you to be able to grow closer to him. We want you to experience all that he has in store for you. And we just really believe that that is going to happen better. And it's going to happen more when you are connected and fully engaged in what we get to do together. So there's a couple of things that you can do to respond. You should have been given a card when you came in this morning. We would love to ask you to fill that out. Give us your contact information. Let us know how we can get in touch with you. And then on the back, you can put a number, a one or a two, to say, hey, yeah, my first choice, first area of interest would be this, or my second area of interest would be this. You can write notes on there because your name and your phone number is on there. You can give me all kinds of questions. Whatever you want to write on there, feel free. But if you'll just at least give us your contact information and tell us what you're interested in, that's going to be helpful. But when we leave in just a minute, we have kind of made all these arrangements for you to ask you for you to stick around if you're interested in just learning more about serving at Beachside. You don't have to commit right now, but if you want more information, we're going to do an orientation for each of these environments that's going to last about 20 minutes. We're going to put a timer on the screen so we can't keep you long. We have another service, so we can't keep you long anyway. But we're going to have you just kind of go to some different areas so that we can talk to you for a minute, put something in your hand to be able to share with you a little bit more about what it looks like, some specifics, and know how we can follow up and get that process started. So if you're interested in that, here's what you can do. As we dismiss today, and by the way, if you have kids in Wambland or Upstreet or anywhere else, that our volunteers down there know that you might stick around a little long, and they're ready to take care of your kids. So all that's done. So Wambaland and Upstreet, if you're interested in learning out more about that, you can just go right over here in the front. If you're interested as a communicator, you don't have to be a content creator, but if you're just good at standing on stage and talking, we have needs in all of our different environments for people who can do that. And you can go right back here to this side. Guest services right here up front, production right back where the production table is back there, and then student ministry over here on this side. So when we leave today, all you have to do is take that card, go to those areas. You're going to stick around for 20 minutes. They're going to share with you a little more information, give you some more information, put it in your hand, and then you'll give them the card, and they'll follow up from there. If you can't stick around today, then as you leave, if you'll take that card and hand it to one of our guest services volunteers as you're walking out the door, then somebody will contact you within 48 hours, and they'll have a conversation with you about what that next step would look like through that. So one way or the other, we hope that that's an easy process. We would love for you to take a step as we gear up for what God's going to do, you know, throughout the summer and as we move into our next school year and just everything else that comes up and the opportunities that God's given us. We want to take advantage of that. We want something for you as well. Thank you so much. Once again, look forward to having you back next week as we begin a new series with Andy. But I'd love to pray for us, and then you'll be dismissed this morning. Father, we're just so grateful for what you do. It is truly so much fun. Just to be engaged in what you're doing here in our community and to see how you've been at work. As we see people's lives changed, as we hear the stories that we've heard, Father, just of the way that you've been at work in people. And Father, it's just so much fun to work with a group of people that are just so gifted and passionate and just love to serve you. Father, we're just grateful for that. And I pray, Father, that you would just continue to show us how we can do the things that we do, that you've just to take advantage of the opportunity that you've given us. And so I thank you for just the incredible group of people that are here this morning, and I pray that you just do great things in each one of their lives, Father, as you help us figure out how to take whatever that next step is for us in our relationship with you. So we love you, and it is in the name of Jesus we pray these things. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you.